This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, November the 15th, 2022, episode 409. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your weekly source for the latest information in and around the video game industry, with a little bit of a common sense political twist here and there. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. You can check out my daily political antics by visiting my website, nickcraig.com, and downloading the Wilmington's Morning News podcast. There's only one website on the entire earth that you need, though, and that's infectionpodcast.com, who is our lovely webmaster for this. Brian with an I, Aldridge. Brian, it looks like based on your background, you're trying to sell me some sort of, no pun intended, some sort of crypto scam. I know it's an Unreal Engine background, but trying to sell me something, age technology that is that's $15 billion worth of Facebook Meta to create that background. It's really amazing that you've got an exclusive exclusive peek at it. So thank you for bringing tonight.
Oh yeah, and we'll have a little bit of Unreal news. It's not going to be a ton, but it actually will lead into another story that we're going to talk about. But if you want to find me at Brian Aldridge on Gab, Parler, Getter, Truth Social, or Boise Computer on Twitter, of course my blog biteoftech.com, and if you go to our website, as Nick said, the only website you ever need in America, infectionpodcast.com. You go to the upper right hand side and join our server on Discord. I mean, as long as Discord stays open, we talked a little bit about that last week, and they did open. Actually, right after the show, they announced some sort of a subscription model.
What?
We were saying, yeah, it popped up on my thing that there's some sort of a subscription thing.
Well, I'm going to take a look while you're doing your intro.
There. Yeah, if you can find it, that there's some sort of subscription service for it now. But if you go to our website and on the upper right and join our server on Discord, first of all, we got 11 ARC servers going. I did enable on there DK. We'll be opening that up for a month so that some of those foundations and crazy things start to clear out. But the beautiful thing about that is in a month here, when they'll start clearing out, you will have some prime real estate for people that are no longer playing to put up some awesome bases. And so if you're interested in that, make sure you maybe get a foothold so you can start building up some materials on one of the servers, and then you can expand out in here in a month and actually have something to do it with. We also have on there a Conan Exiles server. It's running a number of mods and things for quality of life. Been running smoothly, people playing that every day. And so both of those, if you want information onto it, just jump on our Discord, and we've got links on there for joining those servers. If you want to submit some news, so maybe something you think we should be talking about, just put a link to that in the news channel, and that way we can review it before the live show starts. Perhaps it's a game. Perhaps it's something that's popped up throughout the week. We do refer to that channel, and usually it'll make it in the show if it's relevant to what we're talking about. If you want to get a hold of Nick or I, that's also a good way to do that. If you want to watch the live show, you can do that through Twitch or YouTube. And of course, if you want to listen, that isn't live, but we record it and upload it after the show is done. And there's lots of different platforms and devices that you can listen to on the lower right-hand side. Pick whatever's most suitable for you. If you are going to be listening, though, that means that the show notes for that particular episode are already uploaded. And so if you click that particular episode, there's a nice audio player, a video player, and then links for everything that we refer to throughout that show. So maybe you're listening and you want to see a video that we played. That's the perfect place to go do that. So you can either watch it afterwards or during the show while you're listening to it. Also, if you want to support us, there's a support option up top or infectionpodcast.com/support.
Yeah, we had a couple of people come in with some subs here before the show started, Brian. Our buddy USAF Zombie hitting us up with the 17-month resubscription. Our buddy Donnie, who's got a new name on Twitch, is also hit us up with the resubscription. And 360 Gaming Live also with the resubscription as well before the program started. So thanks, everybody, for your continued support. All right. We've got a whole bunch of kind of interesting news here to get started. Yeah. I think, Brian, the kind of the story of the week, and I know a lot of other folks have talked about it, and we'll fully admit, I'm not a crypto expert. I don't believe Brian is either. We talked a little bit about this actually on our Christmas show last year. But this isn't really as much about crypto as it is, just scams and people running cover. This is the story of FTX, which I don't think we need a whole lot of background on it because it's been talked about everywhere. kind of the gist of it, FTX is similar to Coinbase and Robinhood and some of these other exchanges that allow you to buy cryptocurrency. In the case of FTX and Coinbase, you don't actually own that cryptocurrency. You're kind of like lease. From what I understand, you're kind of like leasing it from them at a price. You don't have an actual wallet that you can transfer things out to and into. From what I understand, so it's a little bit interesting to see how that works. Falcon saying it's a broker again. Yeah, like a stock brokerage. Unfortunately, when your whole company and their whole value was based off of a fake cryptocurrency, which was known as like the FTX token or something like that, they had essentially made their own token that they determined had an inflated value that they borrowed a bunch of money off of I'll give you a real world example. Elon Musk bought Twitter. He borrowed money off of his leveraged Tesla stock. That's how he was able to borrow money. Think about it similar to this, except unlike Tesla stock, which has a value that can actually be redeemed if somebody was to call the note, this FTX token had no value. It was a value coin that they essentially
virtual value.
Not even a virtual value, because it it inherently didn't have a value. They set the price on it and just caused it to have this inflated price. So it's not even the fact that it's just virtual. It's the fact that nobody was using it. It was completely fabricated. For what reason, I don't know. They borrowed a whole bunch of actual money on it, USD on it. They have an arena named after them down at where the Miami Heat play in Florida, the FTX Arena. They had all this advertising, all this stuff off of a fake cryptocurrency, essentially. This company had at one point less than $900 million in terms of cash on hand, which you might think, wow, Nick, that's a lot. Well, not when you have $16 billion worth of assets that you're supposed to have. So they had no money on hand. It appears to have been a Ponzi scheme that was run by this guy named Sam Bankman-Fried or Fried. He moved his entire company to the Bahamas, where he hired a bunch of...
That's a good sign of a legitimate company.
Hired a bunch of loser progressives to run their company. The CEO is some SJW who joked about how to run a company like this, again, a company had $16 billion worth of assets on paper, how she doesn't need to, having a college degree isn't important and math is just, it doesn't matter, it's elementary school math, all this bullshit. And it turned out to be a complete and total Ponzi scheme, at least from everything I can determine. Yep. The company is bankrupt, everybody's money was stolen, and it's over. Yep. It's just gone. It's gone and that's it.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's the thing, is the bankruptcy has set up a rush of investors and customers to salvage funds from the remains of FTX. A
There's nothing left.
Tried to withdraw funds from the platform this week, and the company couldn't meet the demand. The exchange owes as much as $8 billion. Not trillion, but billion. That's still a huge high number. Not in our government's terms, of course. They deal in bigger numbers. But billion, I mean, that's a lot of money. And they don't have millions, let alone billions, to give people anymore. So it's definitely a mess. TSM, they were one of the receivers of some of these funds. And so they've hired some lawyers.
What is TSM?
TSM is a gaming
group. Oh, the esports.
They're like a competitive gaming.
Esports
club.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
So they go through and they receive money. And so they're getting some lawyers and kind of trying to figure out, you know, what's going to come at them for having received money from this Ponzi scheme.
Well, and it's not even, I don't even think it's about the receiving the money. The problem is, so here's the thing. So this sponsorship that this group had signed with TSM, Team Solo Mid, it was a $21 million $21 million per year for 10 years. Well, it's been 1 year. They likely got $21 million. The rest of that is still outstanding, and it's not going to be paid because there's no assets. Same thing with the FTX Arena where the Miami Heat play. They're like, oh, we're going to lawyer up and sue them with what? Like what?
You're not
the
get
company
any.
Doesn't have
well,
anything.
Here, let me read their quote. So here's from TSM, their public statement on this. It said, along with the rest of the world, TSM has been closely following the situation surrounding FTX. We have no insight into the matter other than what has been reported publicly. We are currently consulting legal counsel to determine the best next steps to protect our team, staff, fans, and players. To be clear, TSM is built on a solid foundation. We are stable and profitable, and we continue to forecast profitability for this year, next year, and beyond. We look forward to a great year in 2023. So,
yeah,
this is something received.
Yeah. Well, they only received $21 million, presumably, or maybe they got a hat $21 million and maybe another 10 or 15 because they just signed the deal last year. So, you know, that's you know, let's call it $170-180 million on your books that is no longer going to be on your books because it's just not going to be there.
Yeah.
It's a similar thing with these other groups as well that are all looking for. You know, that all had outstanding long, like, for example, when you sponsor an arena, like, again, the Miami Heat facility down in Miami, you don't pay it out in a lump sum, right? You pay it out yearly. That's how it's a 10-year, 15, 20-year deal. You pay it out yearly. So now all of this stuff is gone. Their company's got no assets. It was expected, from what I've read, it's expected that they had about $50 billion worth of liabilities, Brian, meaning $50 million worth of debt in liabilities that they had borrowed from everybody based on, and it all goes, at least from what I understand about it and what I've determined, this all goes back to this fake thing called FTX token that they were able to leverage and borrow essentially $50 billion on. And now everybody's trying to call their notes and there's nothing to call on. There's just nothing there.
Well, and there's been some controversy because $37 million of it went to politicians in this last election.
Well, I've heard $37 million. I've heard a lot more potentially as well, and a lot more also earmarked for this, as this guy and this company were big, big Democrat investors and donors. Brian,
Valerie, was it Fushi in North Carolina? There, she received $1 million from this.
Mm-hmm.
A Democrat from Ohio, a Democrat from California, which, I mean, I guess there are, as we're seeing, more conservative areas of California. Adam Holler, a Michigan Democrat, he didn't win, but he received $1 million from them. I mean, there's just a lot going. There were some Republicans, which I'm assuming are ones where they wanted them to win because they were anti-Trump or something. I don't know. And they knew that a Republican wasn't going to win, or Democrat wasn't going to win in that area, possibly, but it's crazy how this money, so much of it went to trying to sway this last election as well. And then, because it was right after the election that the whole thing just went upended.
Yeah.
You know, the election happened and then he pretty much bankruptcy at that point. So it seemed like there was a cause to this.
Well, and there's also other parts of this as well, which we're not going to get too deep into because we could spend probably 3 hours. This company was also a big backer of Ukraine, apparently, and a bunch of money was sent there. The IMF listed this group as a big donor.
Well,
the world UN had them listed as a big donor. This group, from what I can have taken away, Brian, from it, it seemed like it was just money laundering, whitewashing, and money laundering is kind of what they did.
I don't know how much of this is because I try not to get into the conspiracy theories of it. But from just what I've heard, and as I said, it could be a conspiracy theory. You never know with the news nowadays because they just throw things at the wall and see what sticks, it feels like sometimes. But from what I heard, the billions of dollars that we're sending over there, some of that in Ukraine was being laundered here and then sent out. So
yes,
we'll see if that actually... So, we'll, you know, thank you, Biden. You know, we got Biden laundering into the FTX crew here and then getting it to the Democrat Party, which... We'll see if that actually proves to be true. You know, I'm not going to say yes or no because I've heard so much news back and forth that conflicts each other in the past however many weeks just because of the political season. But it'd be interesting to see if they can track some of that down and see how much money from Ukraine ended up going into this fund.
Yeah, and that's the million-dollar question. And there is a lot of, I'm not going to call it misinformation, but there's a lot of nonsense on social media that's most definitely...
Yeah.
There's just not enough information to prove that it's the case or prove that it's true. Yep. But it,
but so I don't put much weight on it until I see the proof and, you know, the actual paperwork behind it.
One of their other things was the FTX Foundation, which is how they were doing all this. This was their charity group that they were doing all this great global good stuff in. The real question is going to be now, what is the legal fallout? FTX and crypto is not a backed security, meaning that there is no monetary bank behind it. There's no Federal Reserve behind it, which, by the way, is a good thing. That is one of the huge benefits of having a decentralized currency or something like that. The flip side of that is that when somebody is running essentially a scam or a Ponzi scheme, there's really no way for anybody to get their money. And Brian, what I find so frustrating about this is for normal people that are not invested in crypto, but see the advertisements, because they advertise in mainstream stuff now. I mean, you've got the crypto arena where the Los Angeles Lakers play. You had that Coinbase Super Bowl commercial with the QR code that popped around the screen. It's becoming more and more mainstream. And my concern is that now everybody is just assuming that Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all these cryptos are just scams because they read a story about FTX. And all of the great work that actual decentralized currency and Bitcoin advocates have done over the last couple of years to try and, make this something that isn't black magic has just been completely washed away. And for those people, it's got to be devastating. All that work, all of the messaging and stuff to try and convince people that it's not a scam and it's legitimate. And then you've got this jackass who is just literally running a Ponzi, what seems to be a Ponzi scheme for him and his weird sex orgy stuff that he's doing down in the Bahamas. It completely destroys the industry.
One thing I'm saying, my worry is that this is going to make the government step in and say, well, we need to manage cryptocurrency.
Absolutely.
So that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, would you? And here's the thing, as crazy as this sounds, and I'm not an advocate, it makes sense for them to want to do that. Does it not? When you've got potentially tens of billions of dollars that is just gone, it puts the government in a terrible position where they almost have to step in, and I don't want them to step in at all, but they almost are left with no option, which is just crazy to me.
And this is something for a couple of years now I've been hearing about the United States Postal Service and this cryptocurrency that they've been trying to get going to where everybody has a wallet. And it's something that I've seen things that seem official that are pointing towards this happening. That's my concern, is that they're going to say, okay, well, let's make a nationalized currency or worldwide currency that is based off of something that the USPS, well, that kind of defeats the purpose. The purpose of this cryptocurrency is to have it something that's not linked to the government, so that you, even if the government doesn't think you have funds, because look at what's happened so much lately. MasterCard, Visa, if they don't agree with your politics, they get kicked off the platform. PayPal. Yeah. All of these people that allow you to go through and do credit card transactions or any kind of money transfers, if they don't agree with your politics, and you can't say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. It's happened over and over and over again in the past 4 years to 6 years. If it's run by the United States Postal Service, you still have that danger. If they decide they don't like you, they will just shut down your funds.
When you just mentioned that, it reminded me of a tweet I saw earlier today. You'll like this, Brian. This is out just about 6 hours ago. New York's Federal Reserve and multiple global banking giants set to start a 12-week digital dollar pilot program. J.P. Morgan and Chase and I think Schwab are some of the groups that are in on this. So, yes, this is absolutely happening. And
That's the push.
That is absolutely is the push. And it's just
then they don't have to print money. They don't, because right now it costs them money to print money. They can just say, now we have a billion more dollars. And you know what we've been dealing with lately is inflation. Horrible, horrible inflation, because the amount of money they've been fabricating and sending overseas and fabricating and giving people as welfare, and, you know, helping people. That's why everything is so inflated with prices. The inflation is because the amount of money that we are printing and creating and sending places, imagine if it was digital and all of a sudden they could just instantly say, we have $1 billion more. Here you go. Let's send out $1 billion virtual dollars. Inflation will go insane and it'll be much worse than it is now.
Well, and this also comes to the idea, and we're getting way off topic, but I think it's important.
yeah.
This also comes down to the idea of oh, well, Brian, if all your money is in a digital dollar or digital wallet and you've been a bad boy and you have not been towing the government line, well, that's a real bitch, Brian, but your money is frozen. Mm-hmm. That sucks. Hopefully you can get that figured out, because now you can't buy food for your family, and that sucks. And sorry,
and I think that's why with all these stimulus payments and all of these ways they've been trying to get people onto the welfare system, that's the perfect segue for that. We'll give you a card that's this virtual currency that the stores can then say that, you know, this type of food is worth this many credits, and then come up with some sort of system that will ease people into this virtual currency. Then they can create all of these welfare programs with no real money. And that's going to be dangerous. That's when we're really about to go off the cliff. And, I kind of warn people now, if you'll see, I think you're going to see the attempts at that. And hopefully there's some changes that prevent that from happening. But I think that's the direction they're going. And that's just going to kill our country. That's going to kill our dollar. And people are going to truly see what being poor is. Because, you know, in America, we haven't seen what being poor is for quite a long time.
Yeah, our poor is walking around with a brand new iPhone and a car payment and all this other stuff. That's not real poverty. Yep. When you look at what goes on at other places in the world. So that's the details on FTX. We are not the authority on this. I will note there's a lot of people that have a lot more insight and information on it. There's a lot of good stuff online. I will say this. The New York Times piece, and Brian, you've got it linked here, and I don't fault you for that. This New York Times piece is bullshit. It is a complete and total fluff piece on this, and it makes it sound like it's not as bad as it is. The Axios piece that you've got in here is a really good rundown of it.
That one had the legitimate, like, numbers, names, everything.
Yeah, so when you're reading stuff about this, because there's a whole bunch of other articles that have been written, just kind of keep in mind of how it's being spun, because there's some, the New York Times article doesn't really make him out to seem like that bad of a guy. They're like, oh, well, he wanted to do really good things, Brian. He wanted to, help all these organizations.
Had some bad luck.
Yeah, just had some bad luck of screwing. And the best part about this, and I say that tongue in cheek, the best part about this is that the only people that got screwed and hurt are the actual middle class. Because Bankman and his friends, which by the Bankman Fried, I mean, it's a pretty ironic name. Him and his cohorts, now some of them are going to get probably caught up in some serious legal trouble, but everybody else is going to get away scot-free, because that's always what happens. The people that get screwed are the individuals that may have had $1,000 or two in their exchange, which, $2,000 for most American families is a boatload of money. The people that get hurt. So in all this virtue signaling, and we're going to do all this great stuff, you've once again, like every good Democrat and good scam, you've hurt the people you're attempting to help the most, which is, everything that we see going on right now in this country. It's a shame.
And
it's
right now, the debt ratio of your average person is going up quite a bit. A lot of people are starting to live on credit cards because of the cost of food. And there's people, I've seen articles where people say, hey, they make $200,000 a year, but they're living paycheck to paycheck. 10 years ago, that would have been unheard of. $200,000 a year, you were living high on the hog.
Well, some of that is also awful.
Unless you live down in LA or certain places. Yeah.
Well, some of that is also terrible personal decisions as well. So which is another huge problem. And again, leads just so many different aspects of it here. So we'll continue to follow
when you take
this
away personal accountability. That's pretty common, though.
Oh, you mean when you just wave a wand and remove $20,000 worth of debt, Brian? That's not a good
student loan day.
Yeah, that's not a good policy. Oh, I thought it
hey,
was.
Hey, do we want to move to some gaming news and get a little more lighthearted, or do you want to keep going down the rabbit holes?
Whatever you want to do. I've got a couple stories in here. You got a couple stories. I'll let you take it from here. What do you got?
All right. How about we talk something a little more lighthearted, because I think it'll lead into another story that we're going to be talking about. Let's talk about Epic here for a minute, because
your favorite.
There was something coming. Yeah, there's something coming for, and this is going to be, I think, big changes in video games in the coming years. And I'm not going to go super deep. There's a new version of Unreal Engine that came out in the past couple days, and that has some pretty cool changes in it. But one thing that is getting announced here is they're starting to use AI to do rigging on various models. So Rigging is when you take an animated or something that you've drawn. Like there, you can see on the screen a deer. There's warthog, things like that, a helicopter. And I think this video just has really loud, obnoxious music on it. But you take those, and now you can use AI to rig it. And that's when you put bones in the object and make it movable. It's a very time-consuming thing to do, especially if you have a lot of models, a lot of characters. And it goes through, and you have to, when I've done it, I've had to hand put the bones in there. And you put each piece so that the model will move like the real animal. Huh. Well, they're starting to come up and use this AI for very good things, to where it will detect where the bones need to be and do this automatically, and make it so where you can very quickly add models. Now, the beauty of this is when you have things like, let's say, Minecraft, or you have, what's the one that the kids play?
Roblox.
Roblox,
the ones that the kids play. Like, could you sound any more out of touch, Brian?
Yeah, it's just the way it is. And they're putting these models, you know, they draw something or you have something that's making with AI things that look like a picture, right? Well, now they'll be able to have it automatically rig it to where they can bring it into the game and be something that moves around as expected. And so this is actually a pretty big thing. And in Unreal Engine's new 5.1, they start having hints of very similar things. This is another this is a separate product that they're building, a plugin for Unreal Engine to do this. So it'll rig automatically. But if you look at some of the 5.1 changes that are coming up, is they're starting to integrate some of these AI type of things to do this in the engine itself to make it easier on modelers. And so you're going to start seeing maybe some of these smaller projects build into this. But on here they have AI for animation rigging and modeling enhancements. They call it machine learning deformer. So that'll make it to where if you jump to the other one where it shows the actual, go to the Unreal Engine 5.1 and go about halfway down the screen.
Yeah.
And you'll see where there's like a, it looks like a monster type of thing with its arms stretched out. And then there's a slider bar. So you can see how the regular skinning method is, and then the AI version of it. So you, right now you're seeing with the AI version. Go ahead and drag it to the left, and that's when, the other direction.
So this is the AI. That's what the AI did, and yes. Then this is what a human did.
Well, this is, yeah, when you kind of just do it and it forms it to the bone, that's what it looks like. So you can see it gives them more realistic quickly, because otherwise you have to hand paint. Like it's called weight painting.
Yeah.
And you go through and you're putting more weight to where it's attaching to that bone. So like around maybe the pecs or whatever, you would put the right amount of weight there so that they don't go deformed and things like that. It's a very time-consuming process to do. And you'll see weird folds in models and things like that when it's not done right, like in the elbows or the knees.
So let me ask you this, from what I'm taking away from this. This is huge for actual indie devs. This is huge for actual small developers.
We don't have a full staff of people that you can just hand it to and say, hey, can you rig this for me and then weight paint it for me?
Because that's like
huge,
like,
because now the AI does it.
That's like that would be somebody's job, would be to rig this stuff, right? Like that would literally be their job.
There's people that rig and for these big projects, there's people that's all they do is rig and weight paint things.
Wow.
That's all they do. And so this will be able to do it, at least get it 90% there. Maybe you'll turn around and touch it up some places, but this is going to get it pretty close. And so this is going to be huge, especially for the smaller projects that don't have a huge team of people that are very specialized. Because a lot of times you'll get modelers that know how to make something that looks really cool, but then you want to take that and make it to where it moves in the way it's supposed to. And that's usually the modelers don't know how to do that. They know how to paint it, like, you know, make the object, shape it kind of like clay, and then maybe texture it on the outside to make it look like it's supposed to. Then you say, can you rig that? Most of them cannot rig it.
Yeah.
And so this will, even for modelers that want to make something that they can then turn around and show somebody, they can use that to then rig it as well.
Very cool.
They've also been working a lot on the AI as well, for having a lot of people walking around, having smart objects, you know, for like AI things moving around the map, like you can see. So they're starting to improve that. But the big thing here that they're changing is if you go more towards a little bit two pictures above that one where that there was that character. They're working on the world building tools.
This one?
And what this is pointing to is, remember, they're starting to work with The Witcher on their next big projects. And The Witcher is using Unreal Engine for their next project, their next actual couple projects that they're doing. And the reason they partnered with them is because they're going to have staff working together to implement the changes that they need in order to do a big open world game in Unreal Engine efficiently. They're going to be putting those changes into the engine. Well, here's one of those changes that you're starting to see. This is making it so that large bodies of water, lakes, oceans, things like that, I assume rivers probably, will take less memory to do so that you can fit them into like a console game, things like that, be more efficient, and make it so very large worlds connect together properly and don't have as much, don't lose precision in doing that with where the objects are. So this is I kind of hinted that this was going to starting to happen. This is that happening. This is one of the first big patches that's making it so if you're doing a very large open world game in Unreal Engine, this is going to help you do that. Very cool that you're starting to see that. Well, okay, let's go now talk about what's going to be happening with that, because if you look, for instance, Witcher 3, they're going to be putting out their next-gen update. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not.
December 14th, they're putting out a big update for Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. It's going to be what they call a next-gen update, bringing in the better graphics and bringing in improvements, ray tracing, things like that to the game that were not around at the time when it was originally released. Also, their new games that they're putting out are all under Unreal Engine 5. The rework that we talked about a couple weeks ago of the first Witcher game is going to be under Unreal Engine 5, and now they'll be able to make that world in this big, new, much more powerful engine. And so I'm really excited to see all these things coming out from the Witcher crew, CD Projekt, because I don't think we've really seen Unreal Engine 5 and open world yet done well. And so I think they're going to be one of the first companies to actually make something that's impressive on such a large scale and also using these really high fidelity graphics that we keep hearing about. Because you see them here in little projects once in a while, or something that's like a PlayStation, Xbox style game where everything's so scripted and you're pretty much just doing cutscenes, kind of like that track you run down with the PlayStation game that drives me crazy. But those are coming out. Another thing that we had talked about, that CD Projekt Red expansion we talked about a couple weeks ago, they did confirm that that's not going to be free. That's going to be a paid for expansion.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
So that's not going to be a free DLC or anything. It's called Phantom Liberty. But we can expect that out. I don't know. That's going to be still under all the old engine and everything. But they've been fixing a lot of things. They put out a new update here in the last week. They supposedly makes the graphics a lot better on a console. So they're still pushing pretty hard. I think they're only going to get so far with that old engine that it's on. I think they're kind of fixing up the last couple things for maintenance for all the old engine. And then it seems like they're just going full board on Unreal Engine 5.
Do you blame them? I mean, it doesn't. At this point in time, it makes their engine used to be. It was called what? Frostbite? Wasn't that their engine? Or is that somebody else's?
No, I think that was one of the. That's one of those like Call of Duty. Wasn't it Call of Duty Frostbite? Let's see.
I'll look it up here really quick. So, but it just we're at a point right now. You go back 20 years in video gaming, the only option was for you to build your own engine or buy some white label engine and then customize it to be your own. In where we are right now with what
Red
Unreal
Engine is what they called it.
Red Engine. Okay. Where we sit right now, it just doesn't make sense to, and we've talked about this for literally probably 7 years now. There's just no point to keep an internal engine up to date and ongoing.
Anymore.
There's just really, there's no purpose now. It's just, you've got all of the tools you could possibly want and more on an engine that is available to license. And you don't have to deal with any of the BS for supporting it long term. When a company comes out with an engine like the Red Engine, if there's an exploit in that engine, they are the ones that are responsible for maintaining and managing that. Long term, you've for the rest of its life, it's your product. They don't have to deal with that stuff with Unreal. That's, you know, they license that stuff out. Unreal will fix it. They don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, and here, I just put a new link in there. Open up those release notes for Unreal Engine 5.1. I just want you to scroll through the length of it, because I was scrolling through it, and just the amount of change that they made from the 5.0s to the 5.1s is incredible. You're going to have to scroll faster than that, because it's pretty long. But
let me do my favorite game of Control P and how many pages. Oh boy, it's just loading the preview. I can't wait to
Preview.
580 pages.
This is just the change log for the 5.1 version. The changes from 5.0 to 5.1, this is purely just the changes that they've done. Did it crash?
It crashed my browser. it's back. Okay, we're just back.
Okay, good. But it's just a ton of pages. I mean, I didn't count it or see, but if you look at the little scroll bar, like the little thing you drag up and down is super small. And I was very surprised. So that's an example of, for them maintaining their internal engine, they're not, except for when they're releasing a product and then having to fix a bunch of the bugs that they've discovered because of the product that they just released, they're generally not putting out patches like this. Epic is putting out patches like this every however many months for the not major but semi-major releases that they do. You know, for the Unreal Engine 5, that was a total rewrite for their engine. And then they have 5 point whatever patches they've been doing to kind of make that new version stable. And now this is the first semi, you know, the 0.1 version that they've done. And just look at the number of changes they did in the 0.1 version. And for a company to do that for a product that they haven't been touching for a long time, the CD Projekt Red is the perfect example of this. They put out a number of games, didn't touch their engine for years, and then all of a sudden wanted to put out a new game. Well, you've had years of getting behind in the industry. Your technology has been getting behind for years, and now all of a sudden you're trying to fix your engine and bring it up to date with some of the newer technology, and bam, there's a perfect example of what went wrong. With Cyberpunk, Cyberpunk was nowhere near where it should have been for what kind of a game it was supposed to be. Imagine Cyberpunk on Unreal Engine 5. That would have been awesome. Hopefully they'll go and rework it someday.
Let me ask you this. What about the Fallout people, right? Because all their stuff is still on their own engine, but I know that the new, whatever, isn't the newest Elder Scroll, isn't the next revision of that going to be on Unreal, or am I just fabricating that? I could have sworn one of the new Skyrim universe games was going to be on Unreal. No, because
the Elder Scrolls 6 is going to use their creation engine too. It's like Starfield.
Okay.
Starfield. Right, they made a new engine for it. But they overhauled it for Starfield, and then also they're doing it for this new game.
So that'll be interesting
how that pulls it off. That'll be a good example.
Outside of Activision and Take-Two and Rockstar, it seems like, and obviously there's still other things as well, but I mean, it's like when you've got as big of a developer as CD Projekt Red kind of, saying, all right, at this point, it's just not worth investing anymore in this engine. Let's go to something that is publicly available. Something that's more readily available. That's great. I mean, that's really, really great for the industry as a whole. And it's a huge problem. And more than anything else, it's a huge influx of cash for Unreal Engine and for Epic, because CD Projekt Red is going to spend a fortune on licensing it. It's not free for
them. Also the much less QA that they have to do, because that's what really bit them in the end with Cyberpunk, was the QA that they had to do. They didn't have sufficient QA to catch a fraction of the bugs that their engine had.
Yeah.
The beauty of this is Unreal Engine, all these other games that are developing under it and all these other studios, that they're catching the big bugs. The only bugs that you have to catch are not your engine bugs. They're the bugs that you created in your own code. And so it cuts down a lot on having to fix this, because not only was CD Projekt Red having to fix the bugs from their engine that they've been, you know, band-aiding for years, they also had to fix the bugs in the code that they were generating and creating for the game. Now, all they have to worry about is their own code, fix the bugs in their own code, and they don't have to worry about the stability of the engine, because if the engine isn't stable, there's plenty of games that are going to catch that instability. Your game, maybe you're pushing the limits in certain areas of it. So maybe with the big open world parts of it, you'll catch some of those bugs. But the AI bugs and all the other bugs that all these other engines have code that's heavily using, that's going to get noticed early on, especially because some projects are keeping pretty current with Unreal. You know, when we did more patch notes, we would read off, hey, you know, this game updated to the most recent version of the stable Unreal Engine this week. Those games are going to catch a lot of those bugs. And so your engine, which is probably then going to be a couple releases behind, you know, as far as your Unreal Engine install, is already going to be nice and stable by that point. So it's a win-win in the end for them. Plus, they take advantage of all the RTX and just the hyper-realism that they put in if they want to take advantage of that. And now all this open-world stuff, which they've already kind of been doing for Fortnite. You know, Fortnite has turned into just incredible with how they're doing large map things of changes that are happening in real time, where you see rocket ships in the world changing while players are running around the map. 10 years ago, unheard of. 5 years ago, very improbable. And now they're doing it just randomly in the middle of matches, having huge world changes. And so the amount of technology changes happening in the engine is pretty incredible. And all these funds, especially Fortnite, has been pushing them to make these changes. And now getting these big projects on there is just going to push more funding into the engine, which is pretty cool.
Well, speaking of that, kind of a similar story here. You've got a story in here about a Superman game. This has got something to do with Unreal Engine 5. So they released a proof of concept.
Like a tech demo in a way.
A tech demo, which Unreal's done a lot of a game that is it's Superman's. So he's flying around and doing his thing. Well, somebody took the tech demo, compiled it, and put it on Steam, and is selling it for $11.
Selling it on Steam.
Yep. Selling it on Steam, just the tech demo. And it's been kind of funny to watch and just see how many individuals. It's just,
and you can download it for free on his itch.io. So if you go to itch.io, you can download and play it. of course, somebody and. This kind of shows you the amount of checking that Steam does to be able to sell products on there isn't exactly in
all depth. All you have to do is purchase the it's like $100 a year or something like that to become a part of the
club.
Yeah, exactly. The game is no longer available on Steam. There are a lot of good comments about the
Here's what happened. First of all, it says our game is not stolen. One of the former developers of our user team, TJ Atomica, left our team a long time ago, but now he claims that the entire project belongs to him. But that's false. The game's rights and development process belong entirely to us. The reason why he did this is because the sales were increasing quite rapidly, and he thinks he can make money from it.
Well, of course. I mean, isn't that why you do anything?
It's not really
an own when you're like, you can do this thing and make some money. The game was available on Steam for the last 15 days or so. It came out November the 1st, so it didn't just show up yesterday. A little bit of frustration with that this guy was literally just selling a Unreal Engine tech demo for $11. I wonder if Steam is going to... Has Steam released a statement about this? Because the game is gone. Are they going to be refunding
the players? Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet.
What are they going to do? I'm trying to pull up the Steam page through an archive here. I should have had this prepared, but of course I did not. I guess we'll just have to wait and see what they come to with this.
Yeah, I haven't seen any kind of response from Steam yet. I haven't seen anything that actually says that they've even acknowledged it other than copyright striking it.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So they are the ones that pulled it down. That's good to know. And some other video game news here, Brian. Take-Two, which is the publisher, Rockstar is the developer of everybody's favorite game, Grand Theft Auto V, which has been out now for 9 years, which is pretty crazy to think. For the first time in 9 years, now there are How many quarters in a year, Brian? Four. First, second, third, and fourth. That gives us a year. So taking a look and trusting my trusty calculator here, 9 times 4 is 36 quarters. For 36 quarters, Grand Theft Auto has continually added more sales for the last 36 quarters. This past quarter, which would have been Q3, which we're getting the data on now, is the first time that the sales have slowed. Now, it's the worst quarter for Rockstar in terms of Grand Theft Auto in 9 years because the game has sold so well. But even with that, it still sold around 1 million units in quarter three, which is July through September, estimating that they've sold more than 170 million units of the game across platforms ranging back to the Xbox 360 up to now the Nintendo Switch has got some version of it or something like that. So pretty wild to think that for 9 years they've been able to profit this. And I did the math on this too, again, also with my trusty calculator. Let's say the average price of the game was $40 between, you know, a lot of people bought it at 60, but some people bought it at 30. You're talking about $6.8 billion worth of sales at 170 million units. That's if the average price is 40. It's probably closer to 45. I just use that as kind of a low ball estimate, near almost $7 billion off of sales of this game. That's remarkable.
Well, and that's because of the quality of it. And one thing that they've said lately, because people get mad about how long it takes for them to release new versions of Grand Theft Auto, and the Take-Two boss said the company is a hit factory that'll always prefer delays to flops. So kind of, you know, it's almost a slap at Cyberpunk because, you know, were delaying, and then they had a flop. I would rather, personally, I know people were getting frustrated at the time. Personally, I'd rather have them delay. If the game isn't up to the standard that you've set for it, then don't release it yet. Because as you can see, once you've released it, and if it's a flop, Cyberpunk is still trying to come back from that. Even if they fix all these things, you'll still have plenty of people that say, I'm never going to play that again. So I think this is something where you just have to let them put it out in the time that they want, because usually when they put out something, it's so far ahead of the curve in technology that it's worth the wait. I mean, I was so happy with Red Dead Redemption 2, and not with the online play of it, but with the story of it was amazing. I wish they would put out DLCs or, you know, expansions to it to be able to get more out of that story. But yeah, the Minecraft, you have a thing up there, the 50 best-selling video games of all time. Minecraft on top, which is 238 million, and then right that below that's Grand Theft Auto 5, 150 million copies.
Yeah, this is so funny enough. This is actually on HP's website, which is odd. HP Tech Tapes. I had no idea that they had this. I mean, you're talking, and this is all time. I mean, you've got games like Pokemon, Super Mario Bros, and stuff like this on here as well. So for them, you know, Minecraft, yes, the most successful, but in terms of for Grand Theft Auto and for Rockstar, I don't think you could have possibly asked for a better game than in GTA 5. I don't think.
Well, and
how can you get better than the second most selling game of all time? By the way, a very expensive game compared to Minecraft, which, you know, at 238 million copies when I bought it back when I was in junior high school a long time ago, it was like $15, and you know, that was that. Yeah. You're talking about a $60 title that they have sold for 9 years across a gazillion different platforms.
Well, and here recently, in the last couple of days, part of Grand Theft Auto V's source code has been leaked onto GitHub. I don't know if this is going to make a major difference. It's not a huge amount of code, but there, you know, it's just a section of code that's still available on there. We'll see how long that lasts, or if they think it's just not relevant enough to bother taking down.
What are these files? They've got .sch. Schedule. I've never seen that extension before. Maybe that's a proprietary engine for their game engine.
.sch is.
I've never even heard of it.
What is it? A visual diagram of some?
I have no
schematic.
Idea.
I mean, it's a C++ code. Usually, is that C++ right there?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I bet you I don't know why they're calling it .sch, but you see the very top one, that was a .cpp. That's a C++ file. Okay. For the first file that they had in there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
This,
so
okay, that's C++. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely C. I'm surprised this is still up.
A little bit of code. Yeah.
Oh, well, it was only uploaded 23 hours ago. Let's see. There's five forks. Yeah, so, what if people forked it? What are people forking it to? What are they doing with it?
That's just keeping a copy of it on their.
Yeah, I guess so.
On their page.
Interesting. Well, if I am, Brian, if I were a gambling man, which I might be, I would say that whoever's behind this, hopefully they've done this anonymously, because Rockstar will sue the living you-know-what out of them if they can figure out who it is. This is, you know, the one thing when you've got the second most selling video game of all time and you've made nearly $7 billion on the sales of it, you have plenty of money to protect your intellectual property, and you will protect your intellectual property, and you will be successful in protecting it. So it'll be interesting to see if whoever's behind this is able to stay anonymous, or if whoever GTA-sources on GitHub is found out and tracked down by the internet police.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with them. All right, do you have a preference on where we go from here?
Yeah, let's just talk about this real quick. Over at Twitter, we've been covering, of course, the saga of the awful, terrible, worst guy ever, Elon Musk, wink, wink, nod, nod, buying Twitter, and how it's going to be the end of everything. So he apparently laid off everybody that ran the Twitter gaming account, which was an account, it was just at Twitter gaming. I never followed this account. I didn't know Twitter had a gaming account.
Pretty much just retweets. It just retweets people in gaming's tweets.
So
and once in a while post memes. They're not really doing anything other than resharing influencers and tweeting memes randomly. I mean, it wasn't, they're acting like this is the end of the world at PC Gamer, you know, one of the most influential gaming, you know, Twitter accounts that are out there. But I went and looked at what they tweeted, and it was just reshares. It was, you know, and where's the value in that personally, unless you're using it as a news aggregator?
Which, but again, and I think it's important to understand the context here. You're talking about a company in Twitter that is struggling to profit. They are dealing with huge amounts of deficits in terms of budget, and they're trying to figure out how to cut fat. This is what you do as a business. And the idea that keeping this Twitter account alive, which is, again, Twitter gaming, you know, fine account all, but as you mentioned, Brian, just retweeting a bunch of stuff from in and around the gaming industry. And is this something that, this article doesn't say how many people, but it says multiple people. The idea that it took multiple people
to retweet content
or make memes that were most likely stolen off of Reddit is shocking to me. This was probably like a five or six person team, Brian, all taken down probably $70,000 or $80,000 a year to run the Twitter gaming account. Elon Musk fired them, and because he's trying to make the business profitable.
Did you look at their headquarters, their food program? I mean, I assume you've looked into that.
I didn't look into it. I saw a little bit about it. He put some comments out. Some lady responded back and said, "I ran the program." He jumped back and said, "You're a fool and you don't know what you're talking about." They were apparently providing and making all this food every day for nobody because nobody was working at the office.
It was $13 million a year. Yeah, so it was $13 million a year is what they were spending on the food program, just at their headquarters.
Which I will say, for most people, you would look at that and gasp and say, oh my God. But to be fair, at companies that are like this, that have a campus, not just tech companies, but large entities, large businesses that have massive campuses, this is not uncommon to provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner at your campus because it causes people to stay in the office and do more work. So $13 million a year to feed hundreds of employees isn't the most extreme thing in the world, but there's more to it, right?
For instance, at Google, in their Kennewick office, they had multiple cafeterias. And in those cafeterias, they were creating food for all of the different ethnicities and people with various food preferences, whether they're vegan Maybe for religious reasons, they had certain diets. Maybe cultural reasons, they had certain diets. And all these things were being provided. But back then, when I went there, that's when people actually showed up in the office. The problem that Elon Musk found is that when they were encouraging people not to come into the office, and you have maybe 25% or less of the people actually showing up, yet you're still producing the food for all the employees that could possibly show up, it ended up calculating out for the meals that they were providing people, they were $400 per meal.
Because nobody was eating
them. The meals served, nobody was eating them. They were ending up to costing the company $400 for each meal served to a person. That's where the waste was. So she was like, no, it's only $20, $25. No, it's not. When you and he made the change, says everybody's coming to the office, and if you're not coming to the office, you're fired, right? Pretty much. You know, that's your resignation letter I'm accepting. Sure, he may turn around and offer meals again, but guess what? All those people are going to be showing up every day to where they will be down to $20 or $25 per person meals once again, because that's just waste at the company. Rather than looking at, well, where are we wasting money and saying, okay, well, you see, we're wasting most of this food, and they're supposed to be lovers of the environment, and you know, the left wing claims that they love that. All these things.
Yeah.
But and then they turn around and throw out how much food?
Save
and they'll sit there and guilt you, saying you don't love homeless people because you want to have dividers in the benches to prevent them from having a safe place to sleep at night. But you're sitting there and throwing food away hand over fist, $400
Brian,
per person worth of food.
How many starving kids in Africa could have been fed by this food that Twitter was just tossing away every month?
Yeah, if they want to have that and say, here's our budget, how about you cut it down to a realistic of the number of people coming in, and all that excess money you donate to food programs? Do something like that. Instead, they wanted to have this fake sense of, oh, look how cool our work environment is. Look at all this food you can eat. Yet they were throwing away thousands of dollars of food a day. Thousands of dollars of food a day.
And it's just, and then the lady, you know, the lady clamped back and said, oh, well, you know, there was like half the people there. And Elon Musk said, no, we have a badge system. The way that people clock in we have a badge system that tracks, and at most, the maximum capacity over the last 2 years was 25% at the absolute most.
Yeah. And it was costing $400 per plate served.
Yeah.
$400.
Yeah. Which, and again, for it is a benefit when you work at a company like that. That is one of the benefits, and it's a perk of working there. Some places have gyms that they offer on site. That stuff's great. Unfortunately, when you offer that service and then you don't scale it down, when you essentially allow everybody to go home and work, you are just pissing away money. And again, it comes back to the whole thing with Elon Musk. This is no longer a publicly traded company. This is a company that has to be profitable, or it will actually go out of business. Twitter, as a publicly traded company, was never going to go out of business because they could have always...
There was no accountability in it.
Which is shocking to me that there's more accountability under Elon Musk's private ownership, where accountability is not required, than it was as a publicly traded company with shareholders that should have been holding Jeff Dorsey or whatever the hell his name was, and all these other guys' feet, Jack Dorsey, and all these guys' feet to Par Agrawal, holding them to the fire and saying, what the hell are you doing? Why are you allowing this? How did nobody know? You know why nobody knew? Because the lady that claims that she was running the food service, Brian, seems completely disconnected from reality. So it never got reported to anybody. Nobody looked at this and said, what the hell? Elon Musk said in his tweet, there are more people preparing the food than eating the food at the Twitter headquarters.
Yes.
More chefs than people eating. That's batshit crazy. That's nuts.
Yep. And the funny thing, my wife and I were laughing at something that we saw here in the last couple of days, because Elon, he apologized to these foreign countries saying, hey, sorry about the slow service of displaying pages. In your countries, on Android, because it's doing like hundreds of connections, individual connections to be able to pull the resources to pull a page, and it's causing inefficiency. Well, there's an engineer at the company who decided he would tweet back and correct Elon and say, you're totally wrong, and starts getting after him. And by the end of the conversation, the guy was fired, because the guy pretty much proved that he knew about the problem. He did nothing to fix the problem. He says, I've worked here for 6 years, made all these excuses for it. And he proved to Elon, he knew about the problem for 6 years, yet never implemented a fix to make it better. You know, and by the end of the conversation, he was fired. You know, there's all these, people here trying humanity. To prove. All these people trying to prove how I'm not incompetent. Look, I mean, I've been doing this for 6 years, and I think it's run perfectly. And the stats and the numbers behind it, now that he has total access, prove you're incompetent at your job. And he's just firing people left and right because they're just not doing what they're supposed to do. Because there was zero accountability at the company.
Well, let me say this, and I'm not. Actually, that's not true. I'm not the biggest Elon Musk fan. I hope he brings Twitter back. There's been a problem I've had with Twitter for a decade now, Brian, since I've had my Twitter account. The Twitter video player is awful. It has always been awful. It always never awful. Works correctly. How in the hell can the second or third largest social media in the world not be able to make a video player?
Have one of the worst video players on the market.
And again, it goes back to the idea and the notion that somehow under a publicly traded company that nobody was being held accountable. Nobody had the balls on the board of directors to say, and it probably comes back to the point that nobody was actually using the platform. You had a bunch of board of directors, big money people that didn't use the platform, didn't know a damn thing about Twitter, saying, everything's looking good, everything's great. When the reality is the end
engineers come back and say, oh, this is right. And they throw technological jargon at them and get them to say, it is. You know, we're doing this many teraflops and gigabits. That sounds good. When it comes down to, but we're doing 100 connections. And when you're doing that over a cell phone in a third world country, it doesn't operate very well, does it? You know, simple things like that. Rather, they would grandstand and say, it's working perfectly, rather than looking at the realistic. It's kind of like the emperor that has no clothes. We've been using that as an example for years. You can look at it and see that there's a problem. It doesn't matter if the person next to you says, but you don't understand. It's really, there's no problem at all. And let me give you the reasons why. I can see the problem. And if technically Elon looks at the problem, he says, this is a problem. He's smart enough to realize he doesn't need to know all the details to know that there's a problem. And he's been pulling out those things left and right.
His Twitter replies have been absolutely savage over the last couple of days. I mean, he is just roasting everybody. I don't know if you saw this one. This guy, this senator from Massachusetts, put an article out and said, you know, why was somebody able to create a verified account impersonating me? And his response, perhaps it's because your real account sounds like a parody. I mean, this guy is just it's funny. It's just, it's great to see somebody that owns the platform, Brian, that's actually engaged and uses the platform. And that's, I think, a problem with so many companies, not just tech companies, but companies in general. Do you actually use the product? And I've said this for years, and people think I'm weird for it. I listen back to not only this podcast every week, every episode we do, and I also skim through my daily podcast that I do. Obviously, I can't listen to all 3 hours of it. Why do I do that? Not because I'm an egotistical maniac, which some people might disagree with, especially my girlfriend. The point is, I use my own product. I listen to it and I go, why did I say this? That doesn't make any sense. That point I made doesn't connect. It may have sounded good in my brain, but the presentation didn't work. I use the product. I listen to it. And I think if more people just did that, the products would be a lot better, but nobody uses anything. You think the guys running Facebook use the platform like a regular everyday user? No, they don't.
Like a grandmother?
No, they don't. And then no, they have no idea. And it's the same thing with YouTube. It's the same problem with YouTube. They don't use at YouTube uses the platform as a content creator. They have no idea.
I want you to go to Elon's. Can you go to Elon's page? And I just want you to. You made a post 4 hours ago.
Oh well, the Ligma Johnson.
Yes.
Well, these are the two guys
that I fired.
No, he didn't fire Ligma, these guys. These were the guys.
Ligma Johnson.
Ligma Johnson, yeah. These were the two guys that stood out in front of the Twitter headquarters with the books, and they stood up front with the Michelle Obama book. Do you remember that?
And they pretended that they were engineers or whatever.
They pretended that they were engineers and stood outside the headquarters with boxes, one of them holding up a Michelle Obama book, and Elon Musk hired them.
Yeah. Important to admit when I'm wrong, and firing them was truly one of my biggest mistakes. Ligma and Johnson.
Yes.
So, Hey, they're now hired at the company. He found them entertaining. And then give them a Twitter platform to go, because obviously they're comedians, right? You create,
I don't know what they are.
We'll see what they're actually going to do or anything at the company. But, you know, hey, they're entertainment for Elon. I just thought that was funny.
It's just
one thing I want you to have you noticed in the trending. What's not been in the trending anymore?
Political stuff.
Well, or LGBTQ, all the stuff that was being inflated and pushed to the trending that wasn't really trending, yep, that they want you to think that everyone else in the world is thinking about and talking about, no longer there. It's actual things about sports.
Here's actual trending right now. Trump's about to announce he's going to run for president, and that's actually trending. You've got a couple of basketball games going on. I'm in North Carolina, so elections. Russia's bombing apparently Poland, so World War III. You know, these are like actual things that people are talking about. Not that it's, you know, Pancake Pride Month or whatever horseshit today is supposed to be or whatever. So, yeah, it's great to see that this is actually what's going on.
And that's the thing is now
this.
You're
this
getting
is all real stuff. All of these 10 things are actual. Buck Showalter, all of this stuff is actually happening. Taylor Swift just announced some big concert tour. These are all real things that are happening.
And that's the thing is, before they were putting on what they wanted you to think, and it's all brainwashing, mind manipulation.
Like this,
and I'm starting to sound like
this one. This one right here, number 22, Never Trump. This would have been like number 2 under the previous trending. Yeah. There's 4,000 tweets with it. Yeah. That would have been the 2 or 3. Yeah. That would have been number 1 trending on the platform a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and so now people, and that's the thing is, if a lot of people use this as a news aggregator.
Great
catch. Problem is when you're making it to where it's a fake news aggregator and you're pushing forward the things that aren't actually the news, then you are fake news.
Yeah,
they were the you know, epitome of fake news, because they were trying to tell you what the real news was, and it was just whatever they felt like pushing towards you at the time.
Brian.
Oh, I get this is the perfect.
You fake news.
There we go.
Brian, you either. You either die a hero or live long enough to become the villain. I think that's what you can say about the previous Twitter. They lived long enough and they became the villain. All right, we're way over time here. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, we got a lot of cool topics for next week. So if you're interested, make sure you stick around for that. If you want to find me, you can find me at Brian Aldridge on Gab Parler, Truth Social, and all those the freedom ones. And now, you know, Boise Computer for Twitter, as long as it stays free. If you want to find my blog, biteoftech.com. And, of course, if you check out our website, infectionpodcast.com, join us on Discord if you want to get a hold of us, or you want to maybe submit a news topic that you think is relevant for what we're talking about. And also, we got our 11 ARC servers. We got a Conan Exile servers running on there. And so perfect place to join in. If you want to catch the live show, you can do that through Twitch or YouTube, or the recorded version at the lower right on whatever platform device that you want to have. Those are recorded and uploaded once the show is completed. And if you're going to be doing that, that means that there is an episode show notes for that particular episode. And you can click on there. There's a video and audio player built in. Also links for everything that we discussed throughout the show. Maybe a video that you wanted to see that you could only hear. Just go up and pull up those show notes. Click on that video and you can see what we were watching during that live recording. And also, if you want to support us, the perfect way you can do that is through the support tab up top or infectionpodcast.com/support.
Yeah, I want to thank a couple of folks, including UGX Vibe, USAF Zombie, for hitting us up with a resubscription. Our friend Donnie and 360 Gaming Live, and also our friend Firebomb for throwing us a few bits here during the show as well. Greatly appreciated, guys. Thank you for the support as always. All right, Brian. Thank you, and we'll be back here next Tuesday. We'll also, Brian and I will talk this week. We'll look at over our holiday schedule, and we'll come up with a topic for our annual Christmas show, where we do a deep dive into something. So if there's something that you think we need to talk about on our Christmas show, send us a message. Put something in the general channel in Discord and let us know, and we'll research it and talk about it. Brian, thanks. See you next week.
Very good.
Alrighty, folks, that's going to do it for another episode of the Infection Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. You can check out my day job at nickcraig.com and download the Wilmington's Morning News Podcast. If you missed any portion of today's program, head on over to our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.